wonderful grace today. Thank you for this day, Father, for this place that we have been here worshiping, O Lord, and fellowshipping together, learning Thy precious word for the last 14 years. And we thank You for this privilege of having this place, O Lord. Now, as we look for a new place, we too, Father, asking, O Father, Lord, You provide one that is suitable for us. But today, Lord, as we gather here, let our hearts rejoice, Father, to know You as our Lord and our Savior and our God. And to know, Lord, You have everything planned out for us, Lord. And everything that happens in this life are for good for them that love You. Because we know, Lord, You will always work out something. And You bring us to the place, O Lord, that we be matured in Thy precious word of life. And be perfected, O Lord, by Thy Spirit, O Lord. That we may not be tossed to and fro here and there and get all messed up without a confusion in the mind. And we know, Lord, You want us to be a stable person, O Lord, every one of us. And be spiritual, O Lord, as you see the day fast approaching to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, now as we approach Thy word with us, let You be with us and open our hearts into the understanding of Thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, book of Revelation, chapter 22. Now, the last 2 weeks we covered up a subject on the Holy City, New Jerusalem. Now, this is the ending part of it. And it reads verse 1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Now, here it is in the ending of the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. You notice that this first verse, it brings out something very important for us. This is the last chapter of the Bible. And now as you see in the first three chapters of the Bible, okay, now we are ending this part. But we notice one thing very, very that should bring to the remembrance of our mind. The river. It reads here, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out from the throne of God. Now, you know that there is a river. Well, we look at, let me just try to draw this so that you have an understanding. Alright? Now, this green portion here is just, okay, you know, the region of the Middle East. Alright? Alright? So, now, we know that God created this garden east of Eden. Alright, so, let me just show it here. Now, this region here, okay, that's the Eden part, okay? And this region here, of course, is the garden. Alright, that's where we know as Canaan land. But our revelation understanding of which God showed us. Alright? So now, the Bible said in Genesis that there is a river that flows out from Eden into the garden. Right? And once it exits the garden, is split up into four rivers. You know that. Okay. And always remember that whenever the Bible uses four, always it flows out of the Garden of Eden into, break up into four hands. That means it goes into the world. And that's why we understand God showing us pictures that the truth of God will come out of a certain place. Okay. And then into the world. And you and I know that in our study of the book of Genesis and Revelation, we understand that there is a place that God has chosen to put His name. And that place is Jerusalem. But already when God created Adam and Eve, they were put in the Garden of Eden. They were not put in Eden, they were put in the Garden of Eden. Is that right? And there is the river where, of course, we understand that they must be there every evening because God has a set time, an appointed time where God would meet with them. And God would come down every evening as the sun set to go and meet up with Adam, and Adam must be there at the appointed time to fellowship with him. Alright, Adam and Eve. You understand that? Okay? So we're up, and that place we know, it has to be where Jerusalem is today. It has to be a fixed place. Because that is the place where God put His name. That's the place where He put His word. He has chosen to put His word. Is that right? And that's where the temple of Jerusalem is. And that's where the Ezekiel temple will be, in that area. And also in the entire, as we see, the Jerusalem, which is a literal city for the children of Israel, and what we see in Israel today. But God has used this picture to show that there will be another Jerusalem, and which is called a new Jerusalem, which is called a holy city. Which is not a literal city, but the bride of Jesus Christ. And therefore, He put His name in the same city. Okay, but the spiritual one, which is us, the redeemed. Okay, so now when we look at these verses of scripture here in Revelation chapter 22, we see this river that flows out, that is clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street thereof, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. 12 manners of fruit, and they yield fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. Yeah, just to recap a little bit back. After we see this picture of Eden, we also see that in the Millennium Temple, the Bible tells us also, and we know where the Millennium Temple is, don't you? Alright? It's still in Jerusalem. Okay? But it says in the book of Ezekiel that when he was shown to Ezekiel, how the angel showed him that when he walked 1,000 cubits, the waters get deeper and deeper. Right? And the water still flows upward to the east. Isn't it? Do you remember? So the direction of the river flow is always going eastward. Alright, so from the throne of God during the millennium, under the millennium temple will be this water that flows out from the throne. Okay, and then out eastward into the Dead Sea and so forth. And in the millennium temple description where we see that both sides of that river in the millennium period, there will be many, many trees. Okay, on this side, there are going to be many trees. Do you understand that? Okay, so I want you to take note here. In this Garden of Eden, we know that there is a river, but it didn't tell us anything about trees except the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life is always mentioned. Okay, but in the Millennium Temple, there are literal trees on both sides of the river. Okay? That flows out from under the throne, eastward. So now, you have to have an understanding here. That the tree of life that is mentioned in the book of Genesis, in the days of Adam and Eve, cannot be literal trees. It always mentions the tree of life. Huh? The tree of life. Okay? The tree of knowledge. They cannot be literal trees. But in the millennium setting, okay, this river that flows eastward up, and it said on both sides of these banks of the river are many trees. And you know there must be a lot of literal trees, because there are many trees. Do you understand? But yet he gave us a picture of God. Many trees means to say many, well, tree represents life, and you are a tree of life as well. Every one of us are trees planted by the banks of the living water. Is that right? Do you get it? Okay, so with that in mind, when we come to this end part of the book of Revelation, okay, it mentioned here now, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river was there the tree of life. You have only one river flowing out. Just assume that you're looking at it literally, alright? Just look at it. That there is a river that flows out of this throne. And then he says here, the tree of life. The tree of life. Now, there is only one tree of life. It's not two or three, just one. And yet it says, on the inner side of the river was the tree of life. Now, you cannot have a tree on either side. You get it? Unless you like, I remember going to California years ago. We went through the redwood, you know. And then this is there's a road that we drove up. And then we come to a place where you see a huge tree in front of the road. And actually the tree is a hole under the trunk where the car can go through. So you can say that there's a tree that's, you know, that grows in the middle of the road, but its roots on both sides. You understand what I'm saying? It goes right through the trunk, you see. So it is not what you're trying to picture here. Alright? It may show a picture like this. So on this side of the river and on that side of the river. Now, what the Bible is trying to tell you here, you need to understand. Since the Holy City, New Jerusalem, is a spiritual city. It's not a literal city. It's a spiritual city. So we look at this river. If it is 1,500 miles, the city, remember, the height is 1,500 miles high. So now it flows from the throne of God, he says. So the throne of God must be up there, about 1,500 miles up. So now if this river is literal, if it is flowing down from there, where does it flow? It has to flow downward because river don't flow upward. River flows downward. So if river flows down, it must flow to the earth. Now, so if it is true, for 1,500 miles up there in the space, alright, flowing, if it is literal, I'm saying this because I wanted to show you what there are people who think that everything here is literal. So if it is literal, the water that flows, now how does it flow? Because if you go up there into 1,500 miles, where do you get water? Natural water doesn't exist that high. Right? But if that, let's say it does. So how is the water going to flow down? When it comes down from all that space up there, it must come down like a big waterfall. It doesn't flow. It falls. It becomes a waterfall and not a river. Wouldn't it be so? And if it hits the earth, what will it create? It will create a big pool of water. It will be big. Just think about this. Okay, the Bible said there is only a pure river of water. It didn't say there are other tributaries or whatever, you know, distributary, whatever. It just said a river. That's all. Okay, and on either side now is a tree of life. But there's only one tree of life. So what is it trying to say? That this water that flows out from the throne of God is the pure word of God. It's the spirit of the word of life that comes from the throne of God. So as it comes down to the people of the earth. Remember, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is you and me. And why would it be? It will be scattered all over the world. You will be scattered all over the world. We will be all over the world. The saints of God will be all over the world. Do you understand? So it's not a fixed literal structure, a city. No, it is not. It is a spiritual people of God. And when he said the river flow from the throne of God, it means to say that the word will still proceed from God's throne. Remember in the millennium, the temple, okay, the river comes up from there too. It means that it still tells us that the word of God will still flow from the throne of God. Now, here we are today. Where do we get the word of God? It flows from the throne of God. The Spirit of God is still giving out the word from on high. So the Bible has given us this picture to see. So in this study right now, that when this water flows up, now when you talk about the water, we know it's the very essence of life. Without water, you cannot live. So we need water. Is that right? And so when the water comes up from the throne of God, it's only one. And the strange thing here is, you say, read verse 2 now. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, or in the midst of the street. In the street, and here it says, on either side of the river. So you're going to see now, the river is actually a street. It's a waterway. You know what a waterway is? Go to Bangkok. It has a lot of it. Right? You know Bangkok? They use the river for waterways. They call it the streets. Only it's river. Do you understand the word street means it's just a wood, a way, a path, a way. So this is called a waterway. So when the water comes in, it's a street, right? And that's why there's only one way, brother and sister. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that life sustained by the water of God's word. Huh? Is that right? Truth comes from the throne of God. So you take these three words, way, truth, and life. It all comes from the throne of God. It's a path. One direction only. And the only way to go to God is through this waterway. So, on the both sides of the tree of life, means the same as the water flows out into the world. How does it flow out? Flows, remember, it comes from the throne of God. But this throne of God is in the holy city, New Jerusalem. You and I are the holy city, New Jerusalem. So from the throne of God, it comes out through the bride of Christ. Is that right? And it will go to the people in every part of the world. Now, when you say on both sides of the river, if the river is 100 miles wide, assuming there's a river 100 miles wide, whether you're on this side of the river or on that side of the river, you still could be sustained by the water of life. Do you get it? So, in that to show us that people do not have to cross over to one place or go to another place or to a certain place in order to receive the river of life. Right? You see, like people play, what they call, do pilgrimage. Oh, you look at Israel. When they were scattered throughout the world up in 70 AD, and then they were, in the Second World War, they would make prisoners. And they always say, next year in Jerusalem, right? And people are scattered, right? Remember? Next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. They want to hold Passover in Jerusalem until 1948, when the Israel became a state, then people start coming back. They always look for the next year because they associate God's presence in one particular place, and that is Jerusalem. Do you get it? But this is a holy city, New Jerusalem, where God dwells in the bride, and the bride are placed all over the world. The word of God will come through this river, through the bride, which who are all over the world, so that the people anywhere where they are, north, south, east, or west, top, bottom, or wherever they may be, they have access to this water of life. Because why? It is just everywhere. On this side of the river, on that side of the river where the water flows, it is through the bride. Do you see? You understand that? Okay, there is only one tree of life, and that is God's divine word. Amen? Alright, so then you understand that. Okay, now. In the new heaven and new earth, you must look at it that by the time the new heaven and new earth comes in, it is Eden. Because it goes back to the days of Adam and Eve. Alright? And everything would be finished by then, which God had planned before the foundation of the world, counseled with Himself before the foundation of the world. Everything that He has so planned and ordained, we consider them finished already, even before He was started. But here, and you need to understand, that when it comes to this last chapter of the Bible, you will realize that redemption is become a reality. It's considered over, finished. God through history, from the very beginning, step by step. So when we look into history of what God did, from the very beginning, after the fall of Adam, the calling of Abraham, Israel, the law given, the problem that they had until Christ came, then the church started. We see all this history, the progress of God working to bring back, to bring forth redemption plan to a reality. Okay, so as Alpha and Omega, as it started from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, being that it is a delight, God's delight, so it comes right at the end of chapter 22. Everything will be as God has so planned. Okay, so let's go to the verse here. We need to read one verse here in John chapter 14, verse 20. Alright? John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Now, we know that that is already true. In that day when the Spirit comes, you will know that I am in the Father, Father here, and I in you. But when chapter 22 or 21 or 22 comes into play, it becomes a real thing. You can see, oh my, we feel it, we know it's true. We because we have the Spirit witnessing with our spirit. Is that right? But in that day, everything will become real as real could be. You understand what I'm saying? Now we are the holy city, Jerusalem, in the making. God has not finished yet, huh? He's not through with us yet. Okay, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is not yet a reality, huh? But we see and God considers it finished. Right? But the day when we are changed, our glorified body is changed, we call it a rapture. And yet, we see the holy city, New Jerusalem, is not even complete. Right? Until after the Great White Throne. Then the Holy City will become a reality. Do you see that? Huh? So now this verse, I want you always to remember that I am, as Christ said, I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Because God is the temple. Jesus, God tabernacled in Christ. And Christ in us. Alright. Okay, go to the verse here I wanted to look at in John chapter 7. Now, even as Christ when in his first coming, well, we notice one thing. That when Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem, and there was this temple of Jerusalem. And we know that Jesus Christ, He is the, well, we'll say, the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? He's the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the temple of Jerusalem was there. The high priests were doing all the ministration. There were the brazen altar, the sacrifice, the brazen laver, and then, of course, the holy place where the priest minister, okay, you have the candlesticks, you have the table of showbread, and in front of the curtain that blocks the most holy place is the altar of incense, right? But behind that curtain, in the most holy place, when Jesus was there, there was no Ark of the Covenant. Because he was lost. During the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, when he and his soldier came down to fight against Israel, okay, they burned down the temple and everything's gone. The ark was lost. Why was it so? Isn't it strange? I always wondered, kind of strange, that when Jesus Christ was there, and yet the ark of the covenant was not there. Right? But the table of showbread, the candlesticks there, the altar incense is there, sure. But why? Because Jesus Christ Himself, He was the Ark of the Covenant. You understand? There cannot be two Ark of the Covenant. They're all the covenant. He is the Ark of the Covenant walking on 2 feet. And then He realized it. You see? That's why even in the Millennium Temple, Christ will be sitting there. There'll be no Ark of the Covenant. He is the Ark of the Covenant. There'll only be a throne. And there's something. You see. And so when we realize that when Jesus Christ came, it was Yahweh in Him walking on 2 feet, walking, resting, eating, talking, working, preaching. So now Christ finished the work. Where is? What about us? We are His body. So now Christ is in us. Still in us, resting, walking, talking, working through the body. You see. So all that which we we see the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about this man called Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. God's working out a redemption. And I always believe this, is that everything that we have that happens in the world is known of God, and God allows it to be so that He could carry out His plan and His purpose. For what? For you and me. All He had always in His mind is the Logos. All the thing that He always think about is the Word. Remember, wisdom was in God. That was the Logos. But in the Logos, there are many seeds. Is that right? You and I are the seeds of the Logos. And so God is so mindful of us. That's the reason why. He's so mindful of us, He's always thinking of us. Don't forget that. Jesus Christ always thinks about His bride. Alright? So let us look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Again, there is only one river, but it comes to every one of us, so we become the rivers. But yet it's in the belly. Rivers, the flowing, the gushing out of the water of life. So with this you ought to know that when you are placed in the new heaven, new earth, that's where the great one river that comes from the throne of God into you, through me, and into the world of natural people. And this natural people will be sustained by what comes from the throne of God. The word of life that comes from the throne of God. Okay? Alright. So when you look into this verse again, before we go to the next verse, the phrase in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river. So you always must understand that these two phrases, okay, are not two separate things. Alright, as I said early on, there is only one provided way that you come to God. And that way is the waterway. Now when you think about the waterway, you think about the essence of life. Water is life, because it is a basic element that we need in this life. Okay? Alright? And it is also a path that we must walk. Not just drinking of the water. It's a path that we must walk in. A lot of people like to say, "I believe in Jesus, I love His word," but they don't walk in. It's a street, remember. If it's a street, you need to walk in. Alright, I want you to know that. Okay. Alright. Now, one of the things that you read here in the first two verses, preachers and denomination are those who do not have the revelation. They always believe, or they teach, that the Holy City, New Jerusalem, what they see there is what they read over in the book of Ezekiel. Alright? Because in the book of Ezekiel, as I said, the Bible said that there is a river that flows from the throne eastward, right? And there are many trees. So they read here the same, that there will be a river that flows out from the throne of God. But because the Bible says only one tree here, they really has many trees, because it says this side of the river and that side of the river is the tree of life. So they believe that there are many trees of life. Now that is very poor exegesis when they look at it like this. Alright, but I want you, because there are still people that do not believe the Holy City, New Jerusalem, is a spiritual thing. They still believe that it is called the Bride of Christ because it is a literal city for the Bride of Christ. And that sort of thing. Alright? Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. Now, because in verse 2 of what we read, it says the 12 manner of fruits There are 12 manner of fruits, and which yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. There are 12 manner of fruits this tree of life produce. Now we know the tree produces fruit. There are two things that the tree must provide. One, fruit for food, right? Two, they will have leaves, branches. It's usual for trees to have branches without leaves. What are the leaves for when you have leaves? People, in the heat of the day, people will find shelter under the trees, isn't it? Obviously, huh? Even Jesus Christ was his disciple, and they were tired and hungry, they looked for this fig tree. Okay, they were sitting under the fig tree hoping to get a fig from the tree and eat it. So, it's fruit for food, and as well as shade. Is that right? From the harsh environment or the sun, whatever it may be. So here we see that in verse 2 of Genesis 22, it mentioned about it have 12 manner of fruits and yield her fruit every month. So there are 12 manner of fruits. So it means that there are one for every month, as you see. Again, here we see the number 12. 12 always represents perfect government. Right? Are you 12 disciples? 12 apostles, 12 tribes, always 12. Okay, if you have one, removed from 12, you have 11, which means disorganization. They are not happy with that. The Jews are not happy with number 11. Okay, and of course in Chinese, if you say number 11, they always refer to our two legs, we have to walk. This is a lot of laboring thing. But when you look at 12, there are 12 manners of fruit. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. How many fruits do you see here? Huh? How many fruit?
Nine
fruit. But there are 12 manner of fruit. At the end, when everything is over, there are 12. So what are the 12 here? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, virtue, knowledge and wisdom. Let's go. You have to add Ephesians chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 17. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That's where you get. Okay. And what do you have in first Ephesians 1, 17? It is wisdom and knowledge. And then in 2 Peter, why Peter say, add to your virtue, faith. Remember, so virtue is included here. So plus the 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so by then we would have all these 12 fruits. Because this is what God is doing in our life, to bring forth these 12 fruits into our life. And the nations of the world, but existing at that time, will receive this fruit from us. Now, the Bible said the leaves for the healing of the nation. Now, you know one thing for sure, that there's no sickness in the new heaven. You know what I mean? There will be no sickness in the new heaven and earth. So why is one mean by healing of the nation? It's symbolic that we, okay, because the tree of life produces this fruit and have many leaves. Leaf provides shades, okay, from the harsh environment. Leaf has the medicinal value. It's therefore used the word healing of the nation. So, Christ flowing out, or the word of truth flowing out from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the Holy City New Jerusalem, will have an effect upon the nations of the world, the natural people of the world. Now, you know and I know that if you have a nation, that they are all fanatic in their religion. Okay? Well, look at the India have their problem with some of this pagan religion. Right? And the caste system. Isn't it? If the wife did something, they don't burn the wife. Huh? Or even some of these extreme religions, Islamic group. The extreme one, that we can see in the Middle East and some other places. Huh? What they do to the wife, they even beat the wife and all kinds of things. And then we have those heathen religions where they do sacrifices of baby even so. Right. Now, and the nation is not at rest. But if you have a nation where you have a community of Christians, do you know that the faith and the spirit and the life of the community of Christians have a great effect upon their neighbors around about them? Do you all know that? Huh? Yes. Remember you watched the movie Amish Grace? The Amish community had a lot of effect upon people. You see. Because it's the Spirit of God in His people that affects other people's life. So that's why as a Christian, when you are out there in the world, even right now, please behave yourself. You need to, because after all, you are a child of God, you're supposed to know how to behave, isn't it? Right? Sure. You know. Because God wants you to be, well, as the Bible here said, the 12 fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, virtue. Because then you have your knowledge and your wisdom that you have gained from the Word of God. But sometimes, you know, when we study so much of the Word of God, yet we don't have wisdom. We say, yeah, we have knowledge, but we don't apply wisdom. So we need to apply wisdom. Is that alright? Correct enough. It doesn't mean, oh, but I'm not as old as you, brother Ken. It doesn't mean that a person is old if he got more wisdom. But we should have more wisdom, right, brother Kathy? Sure, isn't it? But wisdom is, if the wisdom of God, it comes from the Word of God. To know what the Word of God says, because God guides us. He gives us advices in His Word. And that's the way we know to be full of peace and, you know, love and joy, because His Word gives us that. Okay? Alright. So now when we talk about the leaf once again, let me just say the fruit, let me explain the word fruit. When you use the word fruit, what do you understand? The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, the tree of knowledge. So, when you shall surely die, it's the fruit, the effect of your partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that right? So, if you eat of something that is healthy, a good fruit, it must have an effect upon your body. Everything you eat has an effect. Isn't that true? Yeah, it has an effect upon your body and it creates some result. So, but what about the leaves? The leaves, it's the growth and the fellowship. Because, but even today, in many poor countries, why do these people fellowship? Just like those in Africa, why do they fellowship? They fellowship under the tree. Most of them fellowship under the tree. Jesus was a disciple, then they fellowship under the tree. They find shade to fellowship under the tree. You see? Alright, and in fellowship, that's where is the growth. Because the tree is like an umbrella, it's shelter. You know? Alright? They gather together, people gather together under that, so it has an effect. So that's what the leaf represents. And so the healing is the blessings and the grace. But you say, God healed me. But if it's not a physical healing, then what is it? God has given you grace. Let's say you have a problem with something, you cannot find a job, and then God gives you a job. So it is a healing. Because you're going through a period of pain, trying to find a job. You see. And will God give you grace to strengthen you through something? That's healing. So all these words are pictures. Alright. Okay, so now let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. And here is the verse that we want to read. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 2 to 3. But his delight is in, oh, we read from the top anyway. Thus says the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So these verses, what I spent the last verse, to give you an idea what a tree is, what does effect it has on you. Spiritually, okay, or even the natural, just to think of the natural, you think about the spiritual, how he applies it. Okay, so we are as here he says, tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. So you are planted by the rivers of living water in you, and yet it's the water of God's word and water of the spirit of the life of God. So you must bring forth fruit in his season. So we have nice spiritual fruit. Okay, but by now I think we should have at least 12. So one fruit. So he put in law that 12 in his season, in his time, his leaf also shall not wither. So now our leaf will not wither because why? What does our leaf have? We have all the blessing, the healing, physically, spiritually, whatever, you know, has an effect on us. But then it's feel like you are down and out. Joy. Let there be joy. You see? When there's your problem, whatever comes, don't look at the problem. You know, knowing that the river of life, the tree of life is still there, and that he will provide the healing, the grace from the Lord. Alright, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. So whatever you do, God is going to prosper you. You have to believe in it. You have to walk in it. Lord, don't just throw up your hand and say, well, everything's up to God, whatever you want to do with me, I don't care. You know, and then you don't believe. You just throw up there as in frustration. You know. But believe and pray that God will provide the way. Alright, so the Spirit of the Lord always wants. Let's go to verse 3 now, Revelation 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, but the Lord give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So as long as the pure river of water of life together with this tree continue to flow from the throne of God, well, the nation of the people that are saved will benefit from it. Okay, there will be no more curses. No more accursing. No liar, no fornicator, nothing evil will ever exist. That's why I said no more curses. Alright, because why? The devil and his angels, where are they? They're already cursed in the lake of fire, and they'll be burnt up. Okay, verse 4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Lamb. Alright, there shall be no curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, in that holy city, New Jerusalem. That's what it means. And his servant shall serve him. And this servant, you and I, we shall see his face. Now, just remember that the Bible says he shall see his face because his name is in our forehead. Forehead here means our mind. That's always we have to think of. Huh? Well, do you think of God? Do you think of his name? You see? So we will see Christ. We will see God. We shall see his face. And they shall see his face. And there shall be no night there, need no candle, nothing light, for the God give them light. Of course, this is not a natural city, not a literal city. So why do we need light? We don't need sunlight, we don't need moonlight. Well, you want a candle. Huh? See? Need no candle. Not nothing, no light, not needed at all. Amen. Alright. So remember, God works before, then Christ worked, then we are working. That's all right. We have to serve him. We have to serve God. Because there is work to do in the new heaven, new earth. That takes your the doctrines away, huh? your view of what heaven is like, wouldn't you?
Because when I was young, I don't know anything about heaven. I said, oh, heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face.
Heaven is so wonderful. Heaven is a glorious. Heaven is a wonderful place. Well, how wonderful is that?
And now you had a picture of doing nothing.
You are toy here after that when you go to heaven, just relax, free, vacation time, nothing doing. No work to do. Wow. Strange, isn't it? And then just imagine you have a spiritual body, then no need to eat. So what do you do? Sit there every day for time eternity, do nothing, relax. Throw me on cloud number 9192817777 number you want to pick anyway. You say, so what do we do? You know, you just imagine that because there's work to do. You know what I read in the Trumpet magazine? The Philadelphia Trumpet. You know Armstrongism? Herbert Armstrong? I was reading the article in this latest issue and I just love it. He believed that the universe, all the planet out there, they were created to be inhabited. So that's why this astronaut NASA is sending out, spaceman or astronaut to go, colonize those planets. He said God has created those things to be inhabited. Oh dear, they read it out of context. It's the earth that is to be inhabited. Oh God, but we don't know the future. We don't know what happened after chapter 22. Because chapter 23 has yet to be written. So we do not know. So as far as chapter 22 is, 22 ends there. Chapter 22 is yet another chapter. Okay? That has yet to be written. And I believe there are things that we need to do beyond this because God doesn't show you more than what, because you cannot comprehend. But we know one thing. God is our Father. Right? We are His children. If He is God, we must be gods. We must be little gods. You agree with that? Yes. Isn't it? Alright? So, that's why after new heaven and new earth comes in, it doesn't tell us anything beyond that. So what is God going to do? After all, the earth is already replenished. Okay, once it's replenished, there's no more birth. There's no more birth. So now what? Because if you have birth, what happened to this earth? It's overpopulated, and then we are brought back to square one problem. You understand? So, we don't know what God do want us to do after that. We do not know. But suddenly, our life would not be mundane. Huh? Like we are today. You got a bit of money, you want to get a cup of coffee, go rush and then push your MRT in the bus, and then after the office, got all worked up, and then come home, rest, sleep. Then get out in the morning again, oh my. It's a cycle over and over and over, you understand? Now, if you go to new heaven, new earth, you see the same thing, you get up, and this natural feeling, get up in the morning, make sure you do this there, you're going to tell them what to do. Now, it's the whole thing, you go over and over? I don't think so. That's why chapter 23 has yet to be written, and chapter 23 is going to be a long, long chapter. And a lot of things yet to happen, and I believe that. That's not why Jesus said, he told to my Father works. How long did God work? How long did He work? We don't know, right? I mean, He takes a long time to create the whole universe, you see. Then Jesus came, He worked. Is that right? Yes.
Then He'll have to work. That's why God, the Father, in Christ, and the Bride, we're all going to work. Oh my. Scare you not. Then you say, I'm going to work again. My goodness. Alright, verse 6. And He said unto me, this thing of fruit, faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the thing which must surely come to, should surely be done. Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Now notice one thing. These sayings are faithful and true.
Wow.
You know, verse 19, or chapter 19 of Revelation. Okay, look at chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 9. And read this. It says, Revelation 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. You see, these are the true sayings. The Bible, God is reassuring you and me. Okay? So this is the word that God asked the angel, or to use, or to speak through the angel that they speak. And then over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Okay, again here we see 1 Timothy 1, 15. And you just see what Paul said here. 1 Timothy 1, 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now when the Bible says this is a true saying, this is a faithful saying, well, that means it tells you it's very important. Huh? It is not just saying, this is a saying. You know what I mean? You understand? It didn't say this is a saying. It said this is a true saying, this is a faithful saying. And as this verse says, in verse 6, these things are faithful and true. So it comes from God, and therefore it doesn't lie. So when the Bible repeats words like this, it's something that we need to pay attention to. Now again, I want to show you here, in verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. All right. Behold, I come quickly. How many times have this word been altered? Many times. Behold, I come quickly. So it is an impending return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to first Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. Okay? The first chapter. The first chapter, verse 1 and 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he said and signified by his angel unto his servant John, Blessed is he that read, and he that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, when we read this verse 7, Behold, I come quickly, then you must see the impending urgency of this prophecy of Christ's return. Okay, because I already said in the very first chapter, Blessed is he that read and he that hear the words of this prophecy. Because all these things that we see in Revelation are things that must come to pass. And you know this book was written in 96 AD. I mean, from that time to now, it's kind of pretty long, right? Okay, but it was shown to John because in panic, because John at that time could not see the plan of God as far as the church age is concerned. But when we come into the church ages, now that we are living in that last age, now I don't believe that what we read here in the book of Revelation, the thing that we know today, that these are not the things that Luther's age knew about it. Right? Nor in those in John's dresses. They could only look and see certain and understand some mystery that's in the book of Revelation. But this book of Revelation is for those who are at the end. That's why it's interesting for us to realize that the history that we read in the Bible are showing us how God reveals things. And that's why the revelation of God, it is progressive. From time to time, things are unfolding. So right now we are in this age already this year. And how far are we already past the message that God has delivered to us? God delivered the message last generation. Oh, last century, we say. Last century. 20th century. And now we are in the 21st century. 50 years or more when the prophet of God uttered the revelation of getting the people out from the system, come back to the Word. And then when we are in the Word, then that's when God began to reveal and unfold things that people don't see before. Right? Do you understand that? Okay? So verse 8 and 9. And I just saw these things, and I heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see, you don't do it, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. Now, John made this mistake before. You go to chapter 19, verse 10. This is the second time he made the mistake. He worshipped this angel because he was so taken up by the majesty of what he was looking at. I mean, if you were John also, I think that you probably worshipped him too. Because you are seeing something which is spectacular. Right? Isn't it? You see. So just imagine this. Don't make the same mistake the second time. And we know that the brand of mine are sick. They are saying that, oh, that's Brother Branham. Probably it was the angel that, you know, was a theophany of Brother Branham was showing to the to John. He was the messenger. What angel means messenger, huh? So he was saying, they were saying, oh, that was Brother Branham showing John what? That is just putting, that's why we say fanaticism. Lots of fanaticism in Branhamism. What else is there that we can say about these people? Huh? No wonder, at least in Africa right now, we have people who are caught in Brahmanism, they're waking up. You know. And that's what Brother Dice told me of what, you know, some of these preachers who hear all kinds of things contrary to what they've been taught by us. And Brother Dice showed them even a simple thing of what the message is about. Oh, we didn't know about this, we didn't know about that. You know, the problem is this, as I said, if you, being that you are a Christian, now if you were brought into the gospel of Christ by the Methodist, and you will go to the Methodist church, wouldn't you? So you will take the Methodist, and then you will learn Methodist doctrine. If you come into the gospel of Jesus Christ through a charismatic person, right? You will go to the charismatic church, and you will just having all this charismatic fun. The chosen gospel. You understand that? You know. So for me, I wasn't brought to the gospel by anyone. My mom told me about the gospel, and we were just interested to know about the gospel. I went and to the Baptist church. Because it was nearby, just to, you know, hear the gospel and learn as a little kid. Then I gave my life to the Lord in the Baptist church, and but after that, I'm actually 2 years after that. And then I decided to go to Pentecostal church because I read a magazine about Pentecostal church, so I went to Pentecostal church, the Assemblies of God. So I was waiting the Assemblies of God fly out. My, I thought we have it all. You know, after the gospel came, until this message came, it opened my eyes. You see, that is, it's a denomination, it's an organization, it's a traditional thing. Then I have to make the choice, out I go. That's the reason why you see the spirit of prophecy in this last day. Come on, the whole my people must be fulfilled. Be not partake of the plague that God is going to pour upon her. Mystery Babylon. Going to get out completely from it all. Yet we see throughout the 20th century, Pentecostal charismatic came out. The people coming up and they form their own. Coming up, they form their own. Is that right? Yes. People came out, come into the national problem, they form their own. Branhamism. The seven thunder group, right? The two soul group, the polygamist group. What are they? They are still the same thing, they are still the same cage of unclean birds. Until you leave all this and come right back here and leave Brother Brand where he is. And I mean that. Brother Brand was a prophet, that's where he is. Don't put him up high. Leave him where he is. Leave Paul where Paul is. You know what I'm saying? You cannot put them any other place. Let them be where they are. Do you understand that? You know. So when you don't, then you have a problem. Didn't they try to worship Paul? Didn't they try to worship Barnabas? People don't mind him because they were sinners. Paul says, I'm not God. Huh? I'm just your human being. Leave me to where I am. I'm just an apostle. That's what I am. Do you understand? You see, that's a problem. When people start having all that, it scares me. Until we come back to the Word of God, we will not be shown any more things. Now, you know all these years I talk about. Look at this book I wrote. The Sin of Adam. What I need that. If you read that, if you still don't understand what Jesus had done, then something is wrong. To me, instead the children say, oh, he had committed sin and brought the world into sin. Well, that's just traditional talk. But do you know what he had done? Everybody blamed Adam for it. For the sin of the world. Everybody. Or some say, it was Eve. Right? Yeah. But what did Adam do? That's a mystery waiting to know. Some people don't seem to understand this. And the importance of understanding the serpent seed. Right? And now how did the serpent cross the flood? Oh my goodness, there are a lot of speculation by the brother of mine. That there are literal serpent seed today. Yes, I know, there are some people here in Singapore believe there are literal serpent seed people believe here today. They don't even understand why. They come from there without understanding. Well, I wonder how many try to argue and say that the Holy City New Jerusalem is a cube because Bob had said it's a cube. So you want to bury it as a cube? Now you have a problem there. You see, you won't be able to see the proper picture. Brother Bahad can only deliver so much. Do you understand that? That's why the fivefold ministry must take over. The apostolic ministry must come back and put everything in its place. The apostolic ministry that God sends to the black around the world. Do you understand that? You see, that's important. Okay? So that's all we'll be able to understand today. The book of Revelation that we see. Verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's nearer than we think. After all, we are already here since this prophecy was given in 96 AD. Right about that. Huh? So now you see, if you ever look at the city, about this Holy City, New Jerusalem, so beautiful. What are you going to do with your life? We press on to walk the mark of the high calling. Right? We press on to walk in the Word of God faithfully. In the baptism that we have received of the Spirit. Do you understand that? Okay? So now, wow. Why? I mean, I want to make the, as a song is written, I want to make the bride. Lord, I want to make the bride. I want to make the rapture. I want to make the bride. I don't want to be left behind. Isn't it? Sure. You see? I mean, look at Enoch. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God and he was not. I said this many times. How is it only Enoch was translated? What about his brother? What about his uncle? What about his cousin? Did they not walk with God? Obviously, they walked with God. But they did not walk with God like Enoch walked with God. Do you understand that? The Bible specifically said, Enoch walked with God. It means to say, he excludes all the other who walk with God, not the way that Enoch walked. Do you understand? So much so that Enoch, when he walked with God, God revealed to Enoch the revelation. I want you to build me a pyramid. Huh? I want you to name your son. What's his son name? Methuselah. Because why? God saw Enoch. That's the reason why he called his son Methuselah. When he is God, the dots would come. the rain will come, the destruction will come. He no longer got so close that God can reveal to him things. How can God show you anything if you don't walk with the Word? How can God show the denomination truth when they are carrying about with all their tradition? They wouldn't hear it. That's why even Noah wasn't walking with God like Enoch was. But God took him, said, I want you to build an ark, get into the ark with your wife and your three sons in the tree. It was because of Noah. And I don't believe anything about his wife. But remember, the wife was Naam and his three children, three sons. Right? Only Noah, the Bible says, was the only one that was righteous. Huh? Isn't it? But he has to go through the flood. You know how much problem there is? Build an ark. Oh, I have to build an ark. Look at Enoch. Did Enoch have to build an ark? Huh? You go through a tribulation, you have to be careful, you have to build something to hide yourself. Keep yourself alive, so to speak. Then go and hunt for those animals. Elephant, Tuvalu, come on here, and then look at lions, and go and look up all these animals just to bring them into the ark. Just think about it. So what do you want to be? You want to get into the bride, into the rapture, or you want to go through tribulation? Remember, there's only one Enoch out of how many millions of people at that time. Is that right? So now how many millions of Christians are there in the world? And what percentage will it be that make the bride? And so much so that's the reason why it's a secret rapture. It will not be made known to the world. When Enoch was taken away, it was not a public show. It's not a public show. Huh? When Elijah was cut away, it was not a public show. Elijah saw him, and even the school of the student of prophecy, the prophetic student, okay, knew something was going to happen, but they didn't see him go, only Elijah. When Jesus ascended into the heaven, only the 11 who were saved. Excluding who? Judas Iscariot. They saw Jesus went up. Nobody else. Exclusive. It's an exclusive club. You understand what I'm saying? The rapture is an exclusive. People who are going to really mean business and walk with God and want to get in there. Hey, after all, you know what? The Bible is about strength. Press toward the mount, high calling. Is that alright? You think, I'm a Christian. What? So what? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm eternal. I'm going to go out in the rapture. Where do you get that information? If you are born again, yes, I know you have eternal life. Isn't it? But what if God let all those saints out there in the days of Enoch, Noah, let them all die out? Why? Before he sent the flood. Why don't he just bring them all out in the rapture? Just, translate them. You understand? All right, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. See? Do what he's supposed to do. You want to be a liar? Let you be a liar still. Go. Keep on lying. Go. If you are fierce, go ahead, be fierce. Go and fight people. Go and argue with people. Go ahead. You see what I'm talking about? We are in a place where we need to mellow down in maturity in the Word of God. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. This world is not our home. Why do we fast with people in the world? There are a lot of things we cannot do. You cannot change the world. Whatever you can, okay. Green environment, recycle your plastic, your bottle, good, do whatever you can, right? Yeah. If you never don't do it, don't go and score him. You see, we do whatever we can, you know what I mean? Yes. That's what the thing we're supposed to do. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. See, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Change. Why did this time for us to change? We need to change. Okay, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Wow. This is the fourth time, huh? I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Go to Revelation chapter 1, 8. You can see it there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, you see it there. And Revelation 21, 6, you see it there. And here is the final time. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's introduction here. It's all about me, Jesus said. It's all about me. It's from the beginning to the last, I'm all about me, God. It's about me. You understand? He broadcast it all to the world, the fourth time, the final time. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Oh, the word blessed are they that do his commandments is to be translated, blessed are they that wash their robes. Okay? Do his commandment means to keep his word. And you're keeping the word of God and walking the word of God is having your robes washed. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. Wow, that's so good. To understand that God has given us authority. All we have to do is to walk in the word of God, keep his word, and we get into that tree of life. And we are part of that holy city, New Jerusalem. Alright now. You know, this is a serious hour we are living. We need to put on the mind of Christ. At the moment, blessed are they that wash their robe. We have to think seriously. Because the washing of the word is important. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Alright. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, that's what I like about it. We have the mind of Christ. Sometimes we get angry. I say this every time. We get angry with somebody. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You ever done that before? How many of you have done that before? You can agree with somebody, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No, I don't do that anymore because I know that my mind is the mind of Christ. So I want to give you a piece of my mind of Christ. I'm not going to give you nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's true, isn't it? Because so observing, I want to give you a piece of my mind. Tell him off. Well, we don't want to give that away. Because when you start giving a piece of that mind away, you get all upset. It's no longer the mind of Christ in you. You know what I mean? See? Unless you know what? He commits something real bad. You need to tell him that it's not the right thing to do. But sometimes there are a lot of things that we cannot really do. You understand that? You see a person, you walk down the street and hear a man who smokes a cigarette through his cigarette butt. Anyway, you look at him. You look at him. What can you do? He said, what? Then what? You know what I mean? Unless you got some authority, you know. Some people are just that they don't change. They're ruffians. You know. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Alright. Verse 15. For without are dogs. That is, outside of the holy city are dogs. That is to say that they are impure, filthy people. Because dogs are supposed to be animals, they are supposed to be unclean. Okay? That's why the Gentiles are considered dogs. To the Jew, we are unclean because we are not circumcised. So outside the holy city, New Jerusalem, they are impure. Everything outside is impure. Okay? Without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever love and maketh a lie. That is to say that it is not saying here that in the new heaven, new earth, okay, that outside the holy city there are all this sorcerer lying. Oh, no, it doesn't mean that. Do you understand that? Okay, it is saying that all these whoremongers, the sorcerers, the filthy people have no part in the holy city. Do you get it? They have no part in the holy city, New Jerusalem. Alright? Okay. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you his things in the church. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, before I go to this verse 60, there is something I just remembered. I want you to look at, let me see, where is that verse? Now look at verse 6, and there's something interesting that I noticed. And he said unto me, this saying are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the thing which must surely come to pass. Behold, I come quickly. Now, whenever the Bible, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that right? That he showed to John through an angel. And so an angel came and showed John. Is that right? So he always said, behold, I come quickly. The angel is saying that on behalf of Christ. But look at the verse here, verse 6. His saying are fruitful and faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy apostles. You see the word Lord God here? Now this is a Greek writing. Huh? But when you see the word Lord God in the Old Testament, Lord God in the Old Testament, he always says, Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. It's pointing to one person, that's the God, that is the Almighty God. Okay, so here is letting you know, the Almighty God of the holy apostles sent his angels unto his servant, which is, of course, the minister of God, of what is to come to pass. Okay, then the angel said, behold, I come quickly. So you can differentiate right now that when we see the word Lord God, and where we read earlier on, we say that we'll see his face. That's why I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to see the Lord God. Do you understand? Yeah, we're going to see the Father. Do you see that? Okay? So it is not something that, when we go to heaven, we don't even see our Father. Where is he? You get a point, you see. We will be able to see him because, after all, we are his children and he is our God. Alright, now verse 16. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Here he used this term, I, Jesus. So that you know that it is not just John's writing. Huh? It is I, Jesus, identified. So that means to say that the authenticity of this book of Revelation was Christ. He is the author of it, so to speak. All that which God, which was shown to John, came from Jesus. As we read already in the first chapter, okay, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is Christ, and Jesus signified by the angels to give it to the servant John. To you. Alright. Okay, now, Psalms 30 verse 4, I'd like to read these verses, Psalms chapter 30 verse 4 and 5, because we read about this offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Here we read in Psalms 30 verse 4, says, sing unto the Lord, O you servant of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endure but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We may go through whatever we are going through right now. Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. Right? Yeah. You see. Weeping may endure for a night. Yeah. Even in reality, sometimes we feel sad, we cry for a night, and then after that it's all over. Joy comes in the morning. We're looking at the bright morning star. Now we are watching for what the squeeze is coming. We don't know what's going on right now. I mean, for us here in Singapore, we are quite fortunate. But in many countries, there's a lot of trouble for Christians. Okay? So, finally now, the complete revelation of Jesus Christ shown to us. We see what's in the Garden of Eden setting, the river, where God fellowship in Adam and Eve when he started. And then we see the same setting over in the millennium age, that you have water, the river came out from under the throne, right? And now we see it here in the new heaven, new earth, the holy city, new Jerusalem. So with all these pictures shown to us, we must remember one thing. There's only one place that God chose to put His name. And that place, today, Jesus, is in us. The place where God will fellowship with us. He's in His Word, in the same. Alright? God chose to put His name in one place. And that one place, of course, is in Jerusalem. Of course, it's supposed to be the city of peace. God chose that place to put His name. Yeah? And it was in Jerusalem, and it was in Israel. His chosen people, a type of us, the spiritual Israel. You see. So now God has chosen to put His name in His Word. It always was in His Word. Always will be. And then He put that in us, the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is not just the house, it's building up into a holy city. And that's where His name is in. Okay, so verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Every time you read in the Bible, you read about this verse, that verse here and there. He said, the Spirit and the Word, they are one. The Spirit and the Word. You know, the hero said, the word that I speak unto you, the spirit and the life, the word, the spirit. You know, they're always one. I and the Father are one, you know, because Jesus is the word of God being manifest. Alright, so the spirit which is God, the word, which is the written word, or the rhema that brought forth the revelation. The spirit and the word, they're one. The spirit and the word, they're one. But here now, at the end of it, this is only where you read it. No other place you read. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride. No, not even the Spirit and the Word say come. You understand? It's not the Spirit and the Bride. The Spirit and the Word says come. No, it's the Spirit and the Bride say come. You understand? Why is the Spirit and the Bride? Why not the Spirit and the Word? Because why? The Word is in the Bride. Because when you get into the Holy City, New Jerusalem, it will be a total reality. But now the fact is that even though as yet the thing is not yet come into our system, but it is in the making. And that's why we as the bride of Christ, at this junction in time, it must be real to us. Is that right? Yes, the Spirit and the Bride, the Word of God is in us. So we as a bride should be able to say, come, because we see the truth. Tell anyone of your friend, tell your well-denomination of friend, come to the truth. Of course, whether they accept or not is their choice. We have seen it. Actually, when John saw him, he thought, all that angel thought it was, you know, was so taken up by it was all about the whole thing. But he fell down to worship this angel. Well, come on, finish off verse 18 now. For I testify unto every man that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plague that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You know, at the beginning of this book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 3. There is a promise given to those who read and hear the word of this prophecy. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Alright, blessed are those who read and hear this prophecy and keep them and so on. So that's a blessing. So now, at the end of it, it's a stern warning given. I tell you that it will be a blessing if you read and keep it and not watchful over this prophecy. But now that you have seen it all and understand it, I'm telling you right now that He will add to it and remove away from it on any purpose
you will be what he said here. You will be taken away out of the book of life. Do you see that? You cannot add to God's word. You cannot take away God's word. So, you know this testimony here that is given by Jesus in verse 16. We read it. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things. And in verse 18, for I testify unto every man to hear the words and the prophecy of this book. I, Jesus, I testify unto you. I sent my angel to testify unto you. I. One time, verse 16, two times, verse 18, and right now, verse 20. You see here, the second last verse of the book of Revelation. He which testified this thing says, surely I come quickly, even so come about you. He which testified this thing. So three times this is mentioned of Christ testifying to the truth. And once again he said, surely I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Now we are reading the book of Revelation, you know. It's the end of the whole Bible. I come quickly. I come quickly. I testify to you. My faithful saying, this is a true saying. So do you see how important this book of truth, or the mystery that's shown here, the prophecy, is for us? How important it is for us to be able to understand it and to see we are late in this hour that we live in. Alright, so, behold, I come quickly. That is the fourth time. In fact, he said that. Okay, and now we end up with this. When Christ comes, of course, he will be a grand entrance. When our eyes behold him coming in the air for us, not for everybody else to see. We'll be caught up with him in the air. You know, so verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's a simple statement, man, to end the book of Revelation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Who said this? I mean, John wrote it, of course, you know, as a greeting when Jesus imparted to him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We'll see you in chapter 23. Something like that. We wouldn't have chapter 23. But what happened now? Let's look at this. I just want to bring it out. Now, once a new heaven, new earth comes in, we already seen the chart, that the earth will be perpendicular, right? You remember, huh? To the sun. Okay? So you would have 12 hours of daylight. And then around it, around this earth, God will put back the water from the ocean. You understand? To become give the earth a greenhouse effect. So that when the sun, you know, the ray comes upon the earth, shine upon the earth, this water vapor will diffuse the heat away, the ultraviolet and everything, so that the whole earth will have even temperature. It will now be no more extreme heat like in the desert, or extreme cold like in the South Pole or North Pole. Do you understand that? Okay? Because that's a greenhouse effect here. The other thing is that once the earth is replenished, there's no more birth. Do you get what I'm saying? Because what we have in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, it fruitful and multiplies and fill the earth. The Bible says, fill the earth. But in the King James, it's translated as replenish. Right? And it gives all as if that it was once filled. Okay, in a way, it was once filled with prehistoric animals. Right? But the word should not be translated replenish, it should be translated
been poured and multiplied and filled the earth. So once you fill the earth, you cannot fill it anymore. When you fill a glass with water to the brim, one more drop means it's going to cause the water to flow over the glass. Do you understand? So God will have a number of people that He already determined to fill the new heaven and the new earth. You understand? But it's certainly not going to fill the heaven and the new earth like what we see today. Overpopulation. That people have to live in the air. Though it will not be in the new heaven and the earth. As I said, one thing for sure, there will be no building, no man-made things. People disagree with me. The thing is going to be like a Hollywood space, futuristic space age kind of thing, you know, special cars, special, you know what I mean? No. God is down to earth, and that's what I like about it. God is down to earth. People say, oh, everything is super. Do you know what you see around you is supernatural? But if you take it for granted, do you know that? You said natural. A caterpillar became a butterfly. That isn't supernatural. Oh, that is natural. Well, we take it for granted because it's natural. Isn't it so? Yes or no?
Yes.
You see, that's a lot of things that we do know. We take food for example. You know when you make food, you make cake, this mix with that, great, this become like that, right? Because God has put the law in it. But because we are so used to it, we said it is natural. So the only thing that is going to happen in you in the future, everything will be based on God's law. It will not be based on, who is this guy, Bill Gates' law of computation. You know what I'm saying? The CGI that they have today in movie, huh? Isn't it so?
Yeah.
This is what men have done with the things that God has put out in the world today. The law of physics, the law of elements, whatever you want to call it. You see? But in the future, everything will be down to earth. There will be no cars, no sheep, no man-made thing that is to say. You understand? Once the earth is replenished, people have a lot of space, but enough space for everybody to move around, but no overcrowding, that's for sure. Right? And that's what I know about it. But as beyond 22, chapter 22, I have no idea. Don't ask me what we're going to do. I have no idea. That's another chapter, as I said, to be written. Amen? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We know, Lord, even as well we are here. Oh, our spirit, oh Lord, yearns to be away from this earth, Lord. We yearn to be with you, Father. Because this world is not our home. We're just feeling homesick, so to speak, oh Lord. For this world can give us nothing. Father, we thank you for your grace and giving us the opportunity, Lord, and opening our eyes to see the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the word that is given us in this book of Revelation, the revelation that you have given to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, to show it unto us, Father. And having seen all these things, the things that we have learned, we know that, Lord, there's still a lot more things to be able to understand, to see a better picture. We know, Lord, you unfold it a little by little, even as time goes on, until we see Christ face to face. So, Father, we commit the rest of our day to you, and we thank you, O Lord, for this privilege of the truth. We ask in Jesus' name your blessing. Amen.